Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Carrie, I realize I've been covering the 2016 election for, well, some time now, probably a year now, and it seems like it's the only thing I have to talk about, and, well, it largely is. I mean, you don't expect Olympic coverage right here on the Inside Scoop. But it seems that every time Donald Trump says or does something, it's extreme, it's crazy, it's wild, it's never been done before. The lies are extreme, whether it's accusing Ted Cruz's father of killing Kennedy, or whether it's kicking a baby out of a rally, whether it's saying that he wants to use nuclear weapons more easily than others, to saying that he will keep Russia out of Ukraine, not apparently aware that Russia invaded Ukraine a few years ago. So it's hard because, you know, when it comes to Hillary Clinton, they really only have one thing. She made a mistake with her emails. And you're going to hear that a million times. Well, a thousand times. You've heard it a thousand times already. You can hear it a thousand times between now and Election Day. The woman made one mistake. And it was a mistake. Wasn't actually a particularly bad mistake, but it was a mistake. And that's all they got on her. So everyone knows that because, well, that's all they have. They're going to repeat it a thousand times. With Donald Trump, there's so many things. Honestly, it's hard to remember them all. Every time I come to do this show, I start to catalog them, and I run out of room, and then I leave the paper at home. But it doesn't matter because there are just so many things one after the other. Currently, it just came out, for example, that Melania Trump, Donald Trump's wife, may have been an illegal immigrant when she first came to the United States. Now, of course, she's married to Donald now, and when you marry an American citizen, you get a green card. But when she first came to this country and did a naked photo shoot, which is what she did, I'm not trying to be mean or scintillating here, it's just a fact. You can find it on the web if you want to. The evidence is that she wasn't here legally because she said she was on a student visa or a tourist visa, but you can't work when you're on a tourist visa in the United States. The same is true, by the way, if I go to Europe. I can go visit France, but I can't work in France, at least not legally. Similarly, if you're here visiting the United States, you can't work here. Well, was she not paid for that photo shoot? Did she go naked for free? I don't think so. But if she was paid, how was she legally here? And Donald Trump's answer to that is, well, how dare they accuse her of it? We will prove she was here legally. We don't have the proof right now, but we're going to look for it. We're going to come up for it with it in a couple weeks when we hope this whole thing will die down because I've said something more extreme later. Well, he has said something more extreme. Donald Trump gave what I think was billed as his big economic speech. It was in Detroit, and as the comedians have said, Donald Trump has a lot in common with Detroit, except that he's declared bankruptcy five more times than Detroit has. But this was his prime speech. This was to show that he actually has proposals. Now, the proposals he gave were not in great detail and, frankly, would have doubled the national debt. So they're pretty extreme. And Republicans used to claim they cared about the national debt. Remember that? I once told you on this show the truth, which is Republicans care about the national debt only when Democrats are president. When Republicans are president, they always want to increase the national debt. In any case, this was to be his detailed policy proposals. He was going to act presidential. Donald Trump claims he doesn't like to read from a script, and assuredly he does not, but he has a tough time adhering to the script. And probably the most famous thing, we'll get to some other things too, but the most famous thing that came out of that speech, that long speech, hour-long speech to Detroit. Well, let me just play it, and then we'll talk about it.
Hillary wants to abolish, essentially abolish, the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick... If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day. If Hillary gets to put her judges, right now we're tied. You see what's going on. We're tied because Scalia, this was not supposed to happen. Justice Scalia was going to be around for 10 more years at least. And this is what happens. That was a horrible thing. So now look at it. So Hillary essentially wants to abolish the Second Amendment.
So let's break this down here. First of all, Hillary very clearly said she does not want to abolish the Second Amendment. She said so in her speech. I myself don't want to abolish the Second Amendment. I like the Second Amendment as it is written. The Second Amendment as it is written, not as you gun nuts want it to be written, but the actual Second Amendment. And many of you know I keep the Constitution in my pocket so that I have it available, although I have the Second Amendment memorized. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free people, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Actually, security of a free state, I believe. I'll read it again. I'll make sure I get it right. I had it memorized, but I want to make sure I have it right here. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Pulling it up here. Oh, come on. Just give me the text. Here we are. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, no one I know, except for some gun nuts, wants to abolish the Second Amendment. The gun nuts want to revise it. They want to take away that part about saying that people have a right to keep and bear arms and a well-regulated militia. They want to take out the militia clause entirely. But they really don't need to because Scalia, before he died, said in a very famous opinion, Heller v. Ehrman, that that whole part about the militia in the Second Amendment is to be ignored. He said that despite the fact that he and every other justice of the Supreme Court took an oath to uphold the Constitution, he didn't like the first half of the Second Amendment, and he was just going to ignore it. He thought it was excessive. He thought the founders were wrong. He thought that the Constitution was there, but he didn't like it. He didn't think it was relevant. And he was just going to ignore the militia clause and pretend there's an individual right. Although even the second clause, by the way, says the right of the people to keep and bear arms. The people. People is collective. There's no such thing as one people. There's one person. And when the Constitution, by the way, wants to give persons rights, it uses the word person. For example, you have the right to be secure in your person in the Fourth Amendment. Or a person has the right to counsel. It's in the, or not to incriminate himself. But it's a collective right. It's the people all joining together in a militia to fight off Native Americans or whatever they had to fight in the time of the 18th century. We don't have too many Native Americans pulling arms against us, and we're kind of the majority now, having killed so many of them. The point is, that's what the Second Amendment says. So clearly, neither I nor any liberal wants to abolish the Second Amendment. We are fine with well-regulated militias. I don't know anyone that wants to abolish state national guards, for example. I don't think even Bernie Sanders supporters want to abolish that. But Hillary's gone farther than the Second Amendment. She's actually, and I think for political reasons, and I disagree with her here, but she has endorsed this individual right. Of course, even the Heller v. Ehrman opinion says you have this individual right to a gun, but then the court gets to regulate how much you get, which, of course, makes no sense. The whole purpose of a constitution is to set clear standards, not to say that the court can choose what they want. But this is judicial legislating. This is what conservatives want. I happen to be a strict textualist. I think we should abide by the text of the Constitution, and if you want to amend it, if you don't like the Second Amendment, gun nuts, then amend it. Get rid of the militia clause. But I think we should abide by its text. The point of all this is that Hillary Clinton is much farther to the right on guns than I am, as is Bernie Sanders. I don't like that the Democrats are capitulating, but I'm okay with it because I understand that she may well appoint a judge, and that judge may just read the Constitution and, no matter what Hillary said politically, might just go back to the way the Second Amendment was written. In any case, that's what the people on the right are afraid of. That's what the gun nuts are afraid of. They're afraid that the Second Amendment will be interpreted as it is written rather than in the febrile imagination of one Justice Scalia who has passed. So when Donald Trump says that he's concerned that after Hillary's elected, well, let's read what he said, and then we may play it again. He said that Hillary wants to abolish, and then he writes essentially abolish the Second Amendment, when of course she said no such thing. And then he goes on to say, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Now, Hillary doesn't get to pick her judges if she doesn't win the election, right? So if she wins the election and she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment, people, maybe there is. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day. Let's just replay just that aspect of what he said, just one more time.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish, the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment, people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Although the Second Amendment, people, maybe there is, I don't know. The Second Amendment, people. Who are the Second Amendment people? Would those be people with guns? How are they going to prevent Hillary from picking judges? There's only one way to prevent an already elected president from picking judges. Let's see, they could impeach her. I don't think Second Amendment people, that's what Congress impeaches. They could encourage her to resign. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. What can people with guns do to someone to knock them out of office other than getting them impeached? It's not rocket science, folks. Donald Trump is suggesting that people could kill Hillary Clinton. Now, that's pretty damn extreme. And I want to be clear here. I don't think Donald Trump is quite saying go out and kill Hillary if she's elected. He's implying it. He's acting very much like, I don't know, a four-year-old who doesn't want to share his sandbox. And the four-year-old might say, if you've ever been around four-year-olds, I'm going to kill you. Get out of my sandbox. And you would laugh. This immature child obviously doesn't know what he's saying and really should watch his language. But I don't think there's ever been a presidential candidate who has suggested killing the other side. Maybe during the Civil War, maybe Jefferson Davis may have said something like that about Lincoln. I'm not sure. Of course, it happened. Some Southern separatist by the name of James Wilkes Booth did assassinate Abraham Lincoln. Is that what we've come to in America? Even if it was just a joke, do we really make jokes about killing our political opponents? Remember, Donald Trump feels a strong affinity with Vladimir Putin, who does kill his political opponents. Where have we come to, America? Can anyone with the right mind support this guy? Let me know. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. No guests today, just your time to call in. Let me know what you think about this interesting threat.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Did Donald Trump just threaten to kill Hillary Clinton? He's already said the election's going to be rigged. I'm not sure how he knows that in advance. If he did, he'd have to be involved in the rigging. Look, we all know the truth. It's not that Donald Trump knows anything. He's just trying to make himself look good. He expects to lose, and Donald Trump hates to lose. And so when he loses, he's going to try to make it seem as unlosey as possible. He's just like, you know that kid, the one you play games with all the time when you were seven, and when he didn't win, said, "You cheated!" Well, that's Donald Trump, except I think most seven-year-olds have more maturity. But when a seven-year-old threatens to kill the other seven-year-old, mom's usually around to say, "Jimmy, we don't say that. Donnie, that's not appropriate." The scary thing is that this guy, with his limited sense of maturity, might just encourage a whole bunch of people when Hillary does win, and I do expect her to win in November, given the polls, given the fact that Donald Trump is not particularly sane. Is he encouraging people then to commit violence? 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Reggie on line one in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Happy hump day to you, Mark.
Thanks so much. Listen, your state of Georgia might just be in play. That's how bad Donald Trump is doing and how good Hillary's doing. Your state may be right on the cusp of going for the Democrats for the first time in 24 years.
Right. But like you said, how many of these whack jobs is he going to, shall we say, inspire with that rhetoric of his? Do you know how many psychotic whack jobs out there who are listening to him and taking him at his each and every single word? That includes those on the radio and TV, you know, like those conservative radio and TV talk show hosts, the certain ones who are gun nuts, who have guns in their houses where their kids are at.
Yeah, it's really scary. Like I said, the last time I can recall someone talking about assassinating our president, historically, would have been Abraham Lincoln. That was
right.
Something that the South tried to do. Of course, that was a war. And, of course, they succeeded even after the war was over. A Southern sympathizer, John Wilkes Booth, went out and murdered Abraham Lincoln. Now,
right.
I do think our Secret Service is pretty good. But on the other hand, it just sounds like a guy who's trying to cause violence. And
Right. That's
and just not something where you
control them.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had plenty of elections where one candidate loses and the other candidate wins, and they don't talk about killing the winner.
Right.
Even as a joke, it's just not something you joke about.
Yeah, but like I said, nobody's trying to control him or advising him except for his kids. That's probably the only people who we listen to is his family. And you don't have people saying that, "Donald, listen, man, you can't say or joke about these things like this." That's neither a funny nor a laughing or joking matter.
They keep trying to control him. And they keep trying to make it. And what's interesting about this, of course, is it's not in the script. He deviated from the script. The man is uncontrollable. And all these Republicans that think he's going to calm down and be controllable, I just don't think so. Stick around with me, Reggie, if you want. We're going to encourage others to call in as well at 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. By the way, we are trying something new today. This is just an experiment, but I think it's going to work, and we're going to do it regularly, probably from this day forward. If you go to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk, facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk, and click We Are Live Video Casting right now. So if you've been listening to me on the radio for, I don't know, the 13 years I've been on the radio, or if you're just new and you want to see what I look like, here I am in all my glory in my t-shirt. I probably should dress up better, giving you my radio show. See, we don't usually dress up, we radio hosts, because we don't need to. So here I am in my ugly earphones, and feel free to check out my new Facebook Live. I want to do this regularly now. We'll post some of these on YouTube and hopefully open up the Inside Scoop to a whole new audience. So I'm real excited about that. We're talking about, I don't know, the breakdown of Donald Trump or the breakdown of America for considering Donald Trump. I believe I still have Reggie on the line. Reggie, still there, right?
Right, I'm still here, Mark.
Okay, so we had to go to a break, and I had to get this video up and running, but I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and say what you wanted to say.
Well, I said that, do you know how many psychotic perverted wackos would take his words to heart, and who would he inspire to do something like that, to actually do something like that?
You know, it's scary.
Right? And you got people like, or such as Ted Nugent, who would echo his sentiments and would talk, you know, and would talk about it like that.
Or, you know, the irony is one of the best ways to protect us from mentally ill people or dangerous criminals getting guns is precisely the kind of legislation that Hillary Clinton wants, and that, frankly, the vast majority of Americans, including gun owners, support, namely universal background checks. I mean, right. As I've pointed out, 97% of Democrats support this, 92% of Republicans support this, 85% of gun owners and even 3/4 of the NRA says, you know what, if you've got a long history of gun crimes, or you have beaten your wife or your girlfriend and been convicted of it, or you happen to have a declaration that you're violently mentally ill, we don't want you to have the ability to kill people. And the vast majority of Americans, even like I said, NRA members agree with this. Hillary Clinton agrees with this. The NRA does not. Donald Trump does not. They want violently, mentally ill criminals, domestic abusers, and terrorists to get guns. And you ask them, why do you think it's so important for Al-Qaeda or ISIS to get guns in America? Because many of them support. Donald Trump says he wants to kill ISIS abroad. He just wants to arm them here. Right. And it doesn't make any sense. The only sense is, well, if you start taking away terrorist guns, you're going to come for mine next.
Right.
And you know, that's kind of like saying if you lower the speed limit to 55, next thing you know, you're going to lower it to 5 miles an hour, and I'm against that. It's this whole, you know, reduction ad absurdum. But
right, and you've probably got people like such as Ted Nugent and Wayne LaPierre echoing those same sentiments that Donald Trump himself just said about terrorism and ISIS and all of that.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, Republicans really... I mean, here Donald Trump has built his whole campaign on this fear, frankly, unreasoned fear, of Muslims in the United States. Muslims and Mexicans and women and everyone else he hates. And the reason is, according to Donald Trump, the reason is because these undocumented immigrants are dangerous and they're going to, you know, be killing our kids and raping our wives. Now, as it turns out, several things are untrue about that. One, we know that undocumented immigrants, interestingly, commit crimes at a lesser rate than American citizens. So Donald Trump trots out these three people were terribly treated or criminal, you know, raped or murdered. These horrible victims were killed by undocumented immigrants. And that's bad. And then he says, see, it wouldn't have happened if they weren't here. Well, the answer is actually that if they weren't here, it was more likely to happen because the rate at which undocumented people commit crimes is less than the rate that ordinary Americans commit crimes.
Right.
So there's a greater chance of the crime happening if there are fewer undocumented people here. So he's exactly wrong. And of course, he's also wrong about crime and about immigrants, because crime is down. Every year it's been down under President Obama since 2008, largely because the economy's been good. And when the economy's good, people are less likely to commit crimes. And also, the number of people crossing our borders is down. In fact, it's a net decrease. More people were deported or left the country than came into the country. So all his facts are wrong, but for people who don't care about facts and only care about hate and fear and so forth, Donald Trump is selling them hate and fear and encouraging these people who may not be all there either that, you know, they have one way of taking out Hillary Clinton, and it's not a legal way.
Yeah, and it's like most Republicans. You mean like the Republican politicians, conservative right-wing radio and TV talk shows bring up these false, you know, accusations about the crimes and the economy and all of that stuff, and Muslims and all that stuff.
Well, where do you think these conspiracy theories come from? I mean, the Republicans have built up these conspiracy theories for many, many years, and now they're coming home to roost. And the irony is that Republicans themselves are deserting Donald Trump in droves, at least the ones that have some modicum of respectability, people like Senator Susan Collins of Maine, people like George Will, whom I disagree with, but I have respect for. He's an intelligent man. He just happens to be a conservative. I mean, people that largely have been the Republican intelligentsia, the intelligent Republicans, the ones that have some education, they're running away because they understand the dangers of Donald Trump. And that just leaves the uneducated, tends to be older white men. And they're the ones, the uneducated. Because college, Hillary Clinton's doing better among college-educated people than either John McCain or Mitt Romney. Even among college-educated whites, she's doing better. She's just doing really bad with people who are willing to believe anything they read on the internet and have this white privilege resentment that a few, well, more than a few, older white men have.
Or hear what they, or believe what they hear on conservative right-wing talk radio or on Fox News, right?
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I'll tell you, one of the reasons I go on Fox News is because I feel like someone has to debunk the things that are pushed there. And it's amazing to me when I go on Fox News and I see the, you know, the real pushing one particular agenda. They never, it's funny, they haven't brought me on this week when Donald Trump's had such a bad week. They always want to ask me, the liberal, why did Hillary do X and such? They never want to let me comment on Donald Trump. And that's understandable. I mean, there is a narrative that's being pushed.
Right.
And that's their job, and I have my own views, which I push back on.
Right, but they won't let you talk or respond to them. They always like to filibuster you or interrupt you whenever you try to say something or defend Hillary Clinton or President Barack Obama, anybody else on the Democratic Liberal Progressive left. You know.
I try to get my word in edgewise. Luckily, I try to think fast, and sometimes I have to interrupt to do it, but that's what I do. Hey,
right.
Reggie, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Folks, I'm going to give you another chance to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. This is the last segment, your last chance to call in. I'd like to know, particularly from a Republican, perhaps, who is supporting Donald Trump or has decided they can't do that, maybe an ex-Bernie Sanders supporter. I'm just trying to figure out what people think about this guy. I mean, it used to be a joke, right? But now it's getting really serious. This is Mark Levin. Be back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. The late night comics are truly enjoying this aspect of Donald Trump's speech. Let me see if I can play it for you here.
This tax will also end job-killing corporate inversions and cause trillions in new dollars and wealth to come pouring into our country. And, by the way, into cities like right here in Detroit.
Did you get that? Into cities like right here in Detroit. Now, I don't think Donald Trump was referring to female anatomy there. What happened was he read the word entities. You know, E-N-T-I-T-I-E-S. I think that's the word that was written for him. But it may not be a word that Donald Trump knows or uses very often. I mean, we all have mistakes. We all have verbal blunders. But you don't hear this when he's speaking. When he's speaking, it's just kind of off-the-cuff word salad. He doesn't usually use words that have entities, three syllables. Let's play it one more time.
To come pouring into our country. And, by the way, into cities like right here in Detroit.
I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't realize it. Look, of all things, this is obviously one of the tinier things. But can you imagine this guy as President of the United States? I mean, come on. He can't go off the cuff because then he talks about, I don't know, killing people. And then he can't go on script because he has trouble reading from a script. And it's fascinating when you watch him give a speech. It's so clear it's been written for him. Now, listen, speechwriters have been writing for political candidates for hundreds of years, I'm sure, at least for 100 years. But what happens when a political and you know, I'm someone who someone never has written a speech before in my life. So I'm a talk radio host. If I can't riff for an hour without a script, then I shouldn't be in my job. But I know that when I have read things that I have not written, and sometimes I do that right here on the radio, right? I read from something that some columnist has said or something like that. When it's not your own words, you're more likely to trip over them. That's just a fact. And so you read them in advance, perhaps, or you practice. And when speechwriters write for you, then you put it in your own words. You don't necessarily use the same locutions that someone else would use. You use your own. But Donald Trump is so clearly reading what someone else has written that he'll actually make comments on it. He'll be like, and there's been, oh, wow, look at this, 14% of the people that, you know, you're supposed to at least pretend like you know it, Donald. I think part of Donald's charm, and yes, I said it, charm, I think he's got some charm, is that people know that he's way above his head. There's a certain charm in it. You know, when you have a seven-year-old get out there and try to deliver a newscast, or try to hit a baseball, or try to, I don't know, set the table, anything. That's fun, right? Because you want them to succeed. You're pulling for them. You know it's tough for them. This isn't something they ordinarily do. This isn't something that's ordinarily of their age they do. And if they make a mistake, it's not horrifying. It's funny. And that's true with seven-year-olds. For Donald, it's funny and scary. One of the best descriptions I've seen, and I have it on my personal Facebook. In fact, I'll post it afterwards on my Mark Levine Talk Facebook. There's this wonderful discussion of Donald Trump by an Australian comedian. And it's so true, it hurts a little, although it's very funny. And he talks about why people vote for Donald Trump. And if you're not an idiot and you're not a racist, why would you vote for Donald Trump? And the answer is, there's some people that just kind of wants to see what would happen, right? The stove is burning and you know it's going to hurt when you touch it, but you just want to see how much it would hurt. Or what would happen if you left the dog alone with the Kleenex box? Or, hey, have you ever tried putting a Mentos in a Diet Coke bottle? Yeah, you heard it's going to explode, but you want to try it for yourself. There's a certain desire, you know, the same desire, I guess, that encourages, gets little kids to knock over other little kids' sandcastles. There's a certain desire to see destruction. It can be fun. It's like, let's just see what happens. And I think some people vote for Donald Trump because they're so angry at the political system that they're like, let's just put a seven-year-old in office. Let's put a little dog in office. There have been cases in small towns where dogs have run for office and won because people were so sick of the current politicians. And unfortunately, canines are not allowed to serve. I know that's canine discrimination. But so it's an anarchic move. People who want anarchy, people who think it would be fun, people who feel like the system can't get any worse, we might as well put there someone who really has no idea what he's doing. What's fascinating to me, though, is watching the people who did support Trump back away from him. We understand the people who feel like they have to support him. You know, it's cowardly, frankly, but we understand why Marco Rubio or John McCain, people who've been really viciously attacked by this guy, decide, hey, you know, we have to support him or our voters will get mad at us and so forth. But when you find someone like Joe Scarborough, Joe Scarborough, who was the host of Morning Joe on MSNBC, a guy who really promoted Donald Trump from an early time, one of the few on TV to actively push for him. Even Sean Hannity, who now, of course, loves him, didn't love him at first. But Joe apparently is amused by the Donald, as many of us are. And now he realizes that this joke might actually become president. He wrote a scathing editorial in the Washington Post. It's in yesterday's Post. And I'll just quote some from it. He talks about the Muslim ban, the David Duke denial, the Mexican judge flap, the being a draft dodger and denigrating John McCain's military service, being a son of privilege and attacking an immigrant Gold Star mother. These are just the first five he names. I could name five more. Failure to release his taxes. Going and his wife plagiarizing and no one checking that she's plagiarizing from Michelle Obama, a wife that herself may be exactly the kind of undocumented immigrant, that illegal alien that Donald Trump's so afraid of, may be his own wife. We've got everything from the threat to kill Hillary Clinton today to the saying that Vladimir Putin isn't in Ukraine to talking about giving Putin Ukraine, even though he's not there, which is tricky, to musing about how often he can use nuclear weapons. I'm just riffing, folks. I have no notes. Those of you who are looking can see. Folks, no notes. All right? This is just what I can come up with from memory. And give me another minute and I'll come up with 10 others. The guy, every minute, shows how unqualified he is. And what's amazing is that few ordinary Americans are this unqualified. I mean, most ordinary Americans wouldn't say something as racist as this judge can't be fair because he's of Mexican heritage, or Mexicans are rapists, or I mean, most Americans wouldn't say that. So he's much less qualified than your average American. And to see someone like Joe Scarborough say that any one of these offenses would have disqualified any other candidate for president, and maybe it's just because he's falling behind. I mean, Scarborough points out that Trump is starting to lose in double digits. And he for him, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back was the suggestion that people need to assassinate Hillary Clinton or federal judges, the part that I said today. Apparently, this is a bridge too far for Joe Scarborough. And this great supporter of Donald Trump is now suggesting, number one, the Secret Service should interview Donald Trump, ask him to explain his comments. He asked Paul Ryan and every Republican leader to denounce, in their strongest terms, Donald Trump, to revoke their endorsement of Donald Trump, and to move as quickly as possible to try to remove the Republican nominee. But here's the thing. The time for removing Donald Trump is past. I mean, the time to do that was during the primaries, or possibly at the convention. You remember there was an uprising at the Republican National Convention. People wanted to take a vote on whether or not to suspend the rules to remove Donald Trump. And that not only did the vote lose, but they refused to have the vote. They said they lost in a voice vote, and when enough states came and said, hey, we want to have a vote, the Republicans worked very hard to get those states to change their mind and or just broke the rules. The Republicans did everything they could to put this guy forward. So now for Joe Scarborough to complain is a little bit rich. You know, Republicans, you chose Donald Trump, and now you have another choice to make. You need to either need to recognize that Donald Trump is what your party's about, or it's not. And if it's not, in order to save the Republican Party, you need to distance yourself from Donald Trump. This is Mark Levine. I'll talk to you on Monday. Check out my website, marklevinetalk.com.